ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। His birth, all his fruitive activities, his lifespan, his mind and his words are all factually perfect. In this word, the word Nirnam is very important. There are many other birds besides human birth, but Narada Muni is herein especially speaking of human birth. Among human beings, there are different types of men. Of these, those who are advanced in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness are called Aryans. Among Aryans, one who engages in devotional service of the Lord is most successful in life. The word Nirnam indicates that lower animals are not expected to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. But in perfect human society, everyone should engage in the devotional service of the Lord. It does not matter whether one is born poor or rich, black or white. There may be so many material distinctions for one who takes birth in the human society. But everyone should engage in the Lord's devotional service. At the present moment, civilized nations have given up God consciousness for economic development. They are actually no longer interested in advancing in God consciousness. Formerly, their forefathers were engaged in executing religious principles, whether one is a Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, Jewish, or whatever, everyone has some religious institution. Real religion, however, means becoming God-conscious. It is particularly mentioned herein that birth is successful if an interest in Krishna consciousness is taken. Activity is successful if it results in serving the Lord. Philosophical speculation or mental speculation is successful when engaged in the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The senses are worth possessing when engaged in the service of the Lord. Actually, devotional service means engaging the senses in the service of the Lord. At the present moment, our senses are not purified. Therefore, our senses are engaged in the service of the society, friendship, love, politics, sociology, and so on. However, when the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, one attains bhakti or devotional service. In the next verse, these matters will be more clearly explained. When a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Lord, he said that all his desires were fulfilled. He said, "Today, everything is auspicious. Today, my birthplace and neighborhood are completely glorified. Today, my senses, from my eyes down to my toes, are fortunate. Today, my life is successful because I have been able to see the lotus feet that are worshipped by the goddess of fortune."
Om Ajnana Tivirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishna Vamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhu Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Rupa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Yontah Pravishya Mahavacham Imam Prasuktam Sanjeeva Yatyakhila Shakti Haraspadhamna Anyamsta Hasta Charana Shravanatva Gadin Pranan Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam
So Hare Krishna So, welcome all of you for the Bhagavatam discussion for the 29th of July. So, I'll read the translation again. The great sage Narada said, when a living entity is born to engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Controller, his birth, all his fruitive activities, his lifespan, his mind and his words are factually perfect. So, we see that this literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, is a very, very pristine literature.
among many thousands of varieties of Vedic literatures, it was found that for recent research that the Vedic literatures run into about more than 100,000 works. This is just what has been assimilated so far. So among all of these literatures in Vedic system of philosophy and religion, this literature, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, is so expertly presented by Veda Vyasa that one who takes to it cannot escape by it but end up doing devotional service to Lord Vishnu, because it's designed like that. They cannot escape. Even so-called Mayavadis, when they try to comment on this, when they see Purushaya Tubhyam, they have to write the Supreme Person. Without that, they can't say. They don't believe in a Supreme Person, but they have to translate this as a Supreme Person. So that's why Adi Shankaracharya did not touch this Quran, because obviously he has to break his Mayavada when he comes to this. So even then, some Mayavadis attempt to translate this. So among the prasthanas, we have evidences for Vedic truth. There are three prasthanas or three evidences that they say. Prasthana trayas, which is the Vedas, the Vedanta sutras, the itihasa and the purana. Itihasas are the history, which is Ramayana and Mahabharata. And puranas are the 18 puranas. Bhagavatam is a jewel, among all of this Vedic literature put together. There are 18 puranas, out of which even Bhagavatam is the best, we always say this. Which we know, which is called as the Amala Purana. What is very interesting is that among all Puranas, there are 18 Puranas, among all these Puranas, majority of the commentaries, the number of commentaries written, is you will see is Srimad Bhagavatam. Although the Advaiti commentaries are very less, but yet we see a lot of literarians have gone and written commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. Partly, one is to explain Bhagavatam. Majority of them wanted to prove that they can also access Bhagavatam. That is the reason. This shows that the interest that the literaries have on this work of Sri Veda Vyasa. Such excellent work this is as Srimad Bhagavatam. But when you see so many commentaries, we will see majority of the commentators, even though they comment on it, little do they understand that that supreme truth comes down to this material universe as a cowherd boy. It's unfathomable. Now, hence speaking on a Purana, speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam, actually it's a very complex topic, because when Purana is written, it is written in many different languages, because there will be Gohya Bhashan. There is a Shastram called as Bhasha Shastra. Now when you open a Purana, sometimes things are not very apparent, because you will see there is contradiction between two Puranas. So how do you understand this? So it's sometimes very complex to understand Puranas, and sometimes we will have to study all the 18 Puranas to really know the fact. Because sometimes it's said in Srimad Bhagavatam that when Daksha Prajapati conducted Yajna, Vishnu did not attend. But if you see the Skanda Purana, it is written that Vishnu came. So, but Veda Vyasa cannot write two words contradicting to each other. So there has to be an assimilation of these two. So it's not actually sometimes not easy to understand Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Purana for that matter. But yet by the mercy of Acharya Srila Prabhupada, even an inept person like myself can become eligible to speak on this work. Otherwise I do not have any fortune on me. I do not have any eligibility or capacity to even sit and talk here actually. So Srimad Bhagavatam is such a work which is actually inaccessible to other than devotees. Nirmat Saranam Satam. So it's only for Satam, people who are devotees and who are Nirmat Sar, who is non-envious. And it is said, Srimad Bhagavatam, the proper writes in the second canto, if somebody is accustomed to illicit sex, he should not even go beyond second canto. And we are studying fourth canto. So actually, I don't have any qualification, but I still, as a service, I will have to go through this. But it is also defined in the Puranas that for any Purana to be complete, it is said to have pancha lakshana, five characteristics. Every Purana should have five characteristics. What is that? Sargascha prati sargascha, vamsho manvantaramicha, vamshana charitanchaiva, puranam pancha lakshanam. There are five characteristics that a Purana should have. What's interesting is among the 18 Puranas, there are only two Puranas which have all these five topics in full. If any Purana does not cover these five topics, that Purana is supposed to be incomplete. So we cannot use that Purana to quote. basically, that's what it means. So we will not see somebody quoting Kalki Puran or Shiva Puran, because primarily there are only two Puranas which cover these topics, which are the Vishnu Purana and Bhagavata Purana, Srimad Bhagavata. There are only two Puranas. But Sukadeva Goswami goes a little ahead. He says, why five? I will give you 10. So in the second canto of 10th chapter, second canto in verse 1, he says, Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam utayah manmantareshan katha. Manmantareshan katha nirodha mukti ashraya. So here, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, why five? I will give you 10. What are they? Atra sarga visarga sthanam poshanam utayah manmantara ishan katha nirodha mukti ashraya. Now in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhupada, in the Adilila, second chapter 91 from the 91st verse, Krishnadasa Goswami writes these 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. But what attracted to me is, now these 10 topics, which is Atra Sarga, Sarga means what? Which is the creation of the subtle elements. The subtle elements, like he creates the three modes of material nature, the senses, and all of these raw materials which Brahma requires to create. And then Visarga, which is the secondary creation, which Brahma starts creating, that is Visarga. And then Atra Sarga Visarga, Sthanam Posham. Sthanam means you need a place to create. You need a, if you want to create a building, you need a plot, a land. So that is Sthanam. So Sthanam, he talks about the Sthanam, the maintenance of the creation. So the Lord maintains and sustains. Who is that maintenance? Actually, the Lord, everything rests on the Lord, in one sense, right? And then the fourth is Poshanam, is special favor or nurture. And then five is Utayaha, impetus for activity. Who is, and he created, this Bhagavatam explains about the impetus for activity. And six comes Manmantara. Manmantara means prescribed laws for humankind, the Manushastra, the Manuskritis. And seven is Ishanukatha, Manmantara Ishanukatha. Ishanukatha means what? All the incarnations of the Lord, all of that is explained in Ishanukatha. And then Nirodho, what is Nirodho? Winding up, destruction or annihilation. Nirodho, Mukti. Mukti is liberation. And last one is Ashraya. Now these 10 topics, Prabhupada explains that clearly there are 9 plus 1. The top 9 actually leads to the last one, which is Ashraya. So this Bhagavatam explicitly and exclusively extols the topic of who is the Ashraya. Ashraya means the ultimate shelter for all the 9. For all the 9. What are the 9? The Atra Sarga Visargascha, and even which includes all incarnations of the Lord, even the Purusha Avatars, for all of this. And there are so many Daksha Prajapatis, Prajekas, Prachinabari, all these Manus, Brahma, and Lord Shiva is being mentioned, lot of Devatas are mentioned, all of these Asuras, Suras, for all of this, the ultimate end is the Ashraya. And who is that Ashraya? Is revealed in the 10th canto. So the first 9 cantos cover the first 9 topics, and the 10th canto is where it reveals as that Ashraya is Lord Shri Krishna. And who is that Lord Krishna? That Krishna which is the cowherd boy in Vrindavan. And this is the reality that Prabhupada reveals to say that is the Samam Bonam. That Krishna, that Supreme Lord, Samam Bonam, is a cowherd boy. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam exalts. This, and Prabhupada writes that Srimad Bhagavatam describes this Supreme Brahman as a complete ashraya for everything that exists. And that everything exists is explained in the 9 cantos, and gradually it's revealed in the 10th canto. So Krishna Prabhupada writes that hence one has to study the science of Krishna consciousness by depending on Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the last part, which is Ashraya, there are 2 principles. One is the Ashraya, who is the shelter giver, and one is the Ashrita, that is one who is seeking the shelter. So the entire 9 cantos, we are talking of everyone who is seeking the shelter. Although Krishna is mentioned, but everything else apart from Krishna is the ashrita, or the people who are requiring shelters. So this canto, which we are studying now, the 4th canto, is talking about the secondary creation. Atra sarga visargascha. So second canto and third talked about the sarga, which is the primary creation, and the fourth canto is primarily talking about the visarga or the secondary creation. That is why we see it deals mainly with the, when we say secondary creation, we talk about the lineage. We have to understand the lineage of how the Brahma, how Brahma has created this secondary creation. And that is what starts with Uttanapada and his sons. We saw one of the sons of Uttanapada was Prachinabarhi or Barhisha, and his sons were Prachetas, the 10 Prachetas. Pracheta, Cheta means Cheta. What is Cheta? Cheta, Cheto, Darpanamajan. Pra means one who has good consciousness. Prachetas, actually, Prachetas. So, now we are understanding that Prachetas were nominated as the progenitors of mankind, coming under the lineage of Uttanapada. So they were actually contributing to the visarga of the Supreme Lord, the secondary creation, which Brahma is managing in one sense. And here we see that the Prachetas actually raising progeny was not a simple matter. That if we see, even before they could come into Grihastha Ashram, they had meditated for 10,000 years under the water. And then they come back after that austerity, they see, actually they see Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. They take his blessings and then start their family life, and then they start their progeny. And after all of these 1,000 years of life, now they want to retire, Vanaprastha Ashram, and then they want to go back, focusing on the Lord. It is then when Narada Muni meets them, and now Narada Muni is instructing. So starting from 8 to 14, we saw till 8 verses, we saw that Prachetas were welcoming Narada Muni. They are asking to take the seat, and they are asking what is that we should do now so that we can completely focus, because we have been waylaid into our family life. Now we want to come back to the main focus of life, which is spiritual, which is Krishna consciousness. So from 8 to 14, Narada Muni is explaining what the Prachetas should do, so that they can tangibly perceive Krishna consciousness in their last section of life. And that is where Narada Muni starts this verse as Nirnam ena hi Vishvatma. He uses the word Nirnam, and Prabhupada begins his purport explaining what that Nirnam is. The word Nirnam, Nara, actually Nara means the Lord in one sense, but we also borrow that name. Nara, Nariyate iti Nara. Nara and Narayana, Nara means him only. Nara and Narayana also means him. Nariyate iti Narayana, because he is Nariyate. Nariyate means that which should never get destroyed. So we are also like that, because we take that little quality of him. So in one sense, Nara means him, but we are also Nirna. Nirna means the human society or the human beings at large. So this process of Krishna consciousness is significant for one who has taken the form of a human. So Narada Muni is highlighting the significance of human birth here. Only because there is humans and there is Krishna. Krishna, although he is Nara and Narayana, he is not like us. Why? Because although we are also indestructible, he is Swatantra, Swaraj. He is independent, but we are not independent. We are always dependent on the Supreme Lord. We are always dependent on so many other things. So that is why it is important that we become Krishna conscious. And why is it that human form of life is very significant? Why not any other species? Why human form of life is important?
Consciousness is
only in this form, in this life, or in this form we can do devotional service.
Correct. And why is that? How is that? That is because even the plants have senses, even the animals have senses. But the problem is, animals and plants cannot manifest their senses. Like even trees have legs. The Shastra says, all 10 senses are available for all living beings. All living beings have all these 10 senses. But they cannot use these senses. For example, trees have legs. Is it not? Their roots are their legs. But they cannot move like this. They can only move up. That's why trees grow. They can only stand up. You sow a seed, a tree can grow. Or a climber can move. But they will always be in one place. So they have legs, but their legs, they have limited movement of their legs. So every living entity have their senses. But it is only in the human form of life that these senses can be manifest to a large extent. All of these 10 senses. And they can assimilate knowledge. And one other distinction is, any other living entity can use their senses, but their primary use is only for ahara, nidra, bhaya, maitra, primarily around these four necessities. But beyond these four necessities, the other species are not conditioned. But the humans have a special, unique situation where they can use these same senses not for these four units, not for these four. Ahara, nidra, bhaya, maitra. That is why human life becomes very important, because the two things. One is the Lord has given us to use these senses, but if we don't use them properly, then we also become dvipara. That is why human form of life is very important. Nature has facilitated a human species to manifest all these sense organs, but they have to be manifested and used and applied in the right way. That's why Narada uses the word nrina. But we see that since time immemorial, human society, as soon as someone comes to the form of a human form of life, it's very rare that someone takes up the spirituality. Sukadeva Goswami, in the second canto, first chapter, second verse, he says, Shrotavyadi rajendra nrinam santi sahasrushah apashyatam atmatattvam griheshu grihamedhina. He's telling Parikshit Maharaj that human beings, so-called human beings, which is supposed to be the most important species among all human, among all living beings, nrina santi sahasraha, they have thousands and thousands of topics to hear. What? Shrotavyadi. They have thousands of topics to hear. Politics, drama, science, technology, what not. When ones get involved into these material topics, vishaya, what happens is apashyatam atmatattvam. They become blind. They become blind to atmatattva. Apashyatam atmatattvam, and they end up becoming griheshu grihamedhina. Yeah. But what's important is Vedavyasa knew this. The sages knew this. Didn't the sages know about this? Yes. And that is why even the literature was arranged in such a way. Like for example, Mahabharata. If someone reads Mahabharata, Mahabharata covers politics, drama, violence, adventure, war, deceit, love, everything. All these topics are covered in Mahabharata. But in the core of Mahabharata, what is there? Why is Mahabharata significant for us? Because we have Krishna there, because we have Bhagavad Gita there, because we have Vishnu Sahasranam there. So Vedavyasa and the sages compile these scriptures to attract everyone. But the central point was Krishna. So somehow or the other, bring these people who are interested in Shrotavyadini Sahasrata. So who are interested in thousands of other topics, to somehow draw them towards Krishna. The scriptures were divided. So that is why in the ancient days we had this Varnashrama Dharma, where people were allowed to engage based on their natures, but at the center of Varnashrama Dharma was a king who could rule them, and the king was supposed to have spiritual qualifications. A leader must be tested, and they must have spiritual qualifications. So the kings were tested then whether he is spiritual, whether he is devotional, and then they used to be elected as a king. Who tests on leaders today to be having these capabilities? If someone is a leader, they must be perfect in their sadhana and whatever. Only then he can become a leader. He must demonstrate. We see Nirmala Prabhu was mentioning about this today, Nectar of Instruction. In the Nectar of Instruction, the six things that are favorable for devotional service is satovritte, walk in the footsteps of great devotees. So great devotees or leaders have to be perfect. And Krishna says that in the third chapter. You study in the third chapter that Krishna says, everybody follows me. So Krishna says himself as an example. And so the kings used to set an example in the Varanashrama. But today, the leaders are not qualified. First of all, if you see, Prahlad Maharaj says this to Hiranyakashipu, and not that the society was not like this before. We had asuras ruling before as well, like Hiranyakashipu. That's why Prahlad Maharaj says, Nate duswartha gatim hi Vishnu durashaya ye bahe arthamanina andhaya thandhaya rupaniyamanas te kesha tantyamurtam hi baddha. He says, very, very, very apt for democracy. Why? Because, first of all, the people are misled. Blind people. They want to elect someone. So they elect. So how can a blind man elect a person who is having eyes? So he will naturally elect another blind. So that is what Prabhupada called democracy as democracy. Because majority of the population in today's world are under the mode of ignorance. And if they elect someone, they will elect someone who is under the mode of ignorance. So that's why democracy doesn't work in that sense. Because majority of the people are apashyatam atmatattvam. So they are not aware of the ultimate truth. That is why in the ancient days, economic development was not the main focus. People did not waste their time in these pursuits. I was hearing the morning walk conversation where they were walking, Prabhupada was walking, and I think they come across a Taj junkyard, a wrecker's site. And then one of the disciples of Prabhupada says, Prabhupada, this is where the modern man's innovation finally ends up, a wreck. So they innovate, they spend so much time and effort and technology, they build a car, and finally after a few years it will end up in a wreck. So this is the ultimate, the final ashraya for that technology is the wreck house. This is modern. And immediately, I was thinking what Prabhupada will say. And you know what Prabhupada said? Yes, it is important that they need to understand how to create machines that will not die. How to create a technology which can run forever. We are teaching them. They can come and learn from us. We will teach them how to create something with which they cannot end up in a wreck house. And Prabhupada was quickly saying they must come and learn from us that technology, which is Krishna consciousness, so that we will build something which is eternal. And it was amazing how Prabhupada was turning this into Krishna consciousness. So he was seeing Krishna consciousness or devotional service in everything. And we see time again, Prabhupada mentions that although their forefathers were God conscious, this is again when comparing to the US dollar note, if you have seen the US dollar note, it says, in God we trust. But there is no God consciousness nowadays. The leaders are misled and so is the population. Nobody knows what is the ultimate goal of life. I saw the other day there were protests that they don't want to be in a lockdown because of the COVID situation. And why? One person says, I have not had a haircut. I have to go have a haircut. So I can't stay in the lockdown. It's a question of life and death if he doesn't go there. So people are really blind to this ultimate truth. But Narada Muni says, one who applies his birth, all his activities, his span of life, his words, his mind in the devotional service of the Lord, then it becomes completely perfect. Narada Muni says this. So, why hence when the Lord gives us the opportunity of human form of life, what is the best benefit of human form of life? That is what Narada Muni is saying. And actually, Sukadeva Goswami had spoken about this in the second canto. Etavan Samkhya Yoga Abhyam Swadharma Parinishthaya Janma Labha Parapumsam. What is the biggest benefit of anyone's birth? Ante Narayana Smriti. So, the biggest benefit of one's birth is one needs to remember Krishna. One needs to come to the point of remembering Krishna. That is the whole benefit of someone taking the human form of life. Why? Because this human form of life is a very rare form of life. After many, many years and years of cycle of tapasya, one comes to the human form of life, and after coming to this form of life, very rarely someone takes the spiritual path. And among those people who take the spiritual path, Prabhupada says, someone who applies it, among those Aryas who apply it by applying this to Krishna consciousness, he is really making his life perfect. So, I was discussing this with Bhaktimandu the other day was saying, actually, we give a lot of lectures, we talk a lot of philosophy, but that philosophy and lecture has to end up in seva, in devotional service of the Lord, in physical service, where we apply the senses in serving the Lord. If that is not there, then what is the use of these senses? The senses have been provided to us for that. The philosophy and lecturing and all of this knowledge has to augment so that we can apply that in the service of the Lord. So that is the ultimate understanding. Bhaktivinoda was doing it. It was quite a good preaching for me actually. And if someone doesn't do that in the human form of life, Prabhupada says they are willingly drinking poison. Because they've got a fantastic facility, but they're not using the facility to the max. And thereby, by in the span of life, that's what Nagarani also says, lifespan. Are you who? That is also important. Because if you do not use the span of life in making the most out of it, out of this form of life, then we waste this human form of life. That's why it's even drinking poison. In fact, I was researching what is the oldest living creature in this world. And I found that there's a tree in US which is 4,800 years old. And it, they have dated this tree. 4,800 years old. Can you imagine? It was there since the time of Krishna. So it was there and still living. But the problem is, it cannot realize Krishna. It is there, but simply existing is not important. But realizing that I am existing and the purpose of my existence is the true existence. Otherwise, everything exists for that matter. Even a rock exists. So simply existing or surviving is not the goal of life. As some blind scientist says, survival of the fittest. But survival is not the goal. Thriving in this environment is not the goal. But the real goal is to understand the purpose of the survival. The ultimate purpose of the survival. Atma Tattvam is the understanding. So that tree which has been existing is of no use because Ayuharati Vaipumsam Udyanastam Chayanasau. Unless we come to the Uttama Shloka Vartaya, if we do not understand the purpose of our existence is to know Krishna, then it is of no use. So that is what the Shastras say. Otherwise, any activity that we do, if you see in Sanskrit, Cheshta means any activity that we do. When we move, we eat, we talk, we speak, we move, we see. All these things that we do with these senses are called as activities or karma. If we do not engage these activities in the service of the Lord, it is called as Shrama Evahi Kevali. Because then it is no different than what animals are doing. So we see in the current context, right, in the current context, they say in the Shastra there are four human aims: Dharma, Artha and Kama Moksha. Dharma is religion. Not religion as we understand today, but God consciousness. And second, dharma, artha is wealth, kama is desires, and moksha is liberation. Among these four, artha, which is wealth creation, is the lowest of human aims. Is the lowest, that's what the Shastras declare. But today, that is the highest aim. Everybody works for artha. If somebody is economically wealthy, then I have achieved the goal. The problem is, they will not be satisfied with it. They will not be satisfied. We see the wealthiest nations in today's world are the most dissatisfied. As we discussed a few months back, that the country called Bhutan is very poor, but in terms of happiness index, they are very high. They are one of the top happiest countries in the world. Because they are, majority of the population have spiritual pursuits. And they live a very simple life. So, this was intertwined in our Shastras, in the Varnashrama system, of how to live a simple life, but focus our all our energies towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. And in the end, Prabhupada, Narada Muni says, we have to engage our mind as well. The mind, Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita 6.5 purport, he quotes Amrita Bindu Upanishad, Manameva Manushyanam Karanam Bandha Mokshayoho Bandhaya Vishaya Sango Mukyai Nirvisham Manaha. Nirvishaya mana, that mind which is nirvishaya, one which is not focusing on vishaya, material sense gratification, mana eva marshyanam, this mind can actually liberate that entity. So the mind is a very powerful sense that the Lord has given us. It can bind us to this material world and it can liberate us. As long as the mind is attracted to material sense gratification, we get bound. As long as that mind gets focused on Krishna, that mind will be, the same mind will help us get liberated from our spiritual, from this material world into the spiritual world. We were recently learning Bhishma Suti with the kids, in the kids' classes. Very interesting to see how Bhishma Deva controls his mind. After 18 days of battle, he's lying there on a bed of arrows. He's almost lost every drop of blood in his body because he's being pierced with the arrows. And in that state, he is singing this stuti when Lord Krishna is right in front of him. He says, Iti mate upakal pita vitrishna bhagavati sattvata pundare vibhumni swasukham upagate kvachit vihartum prakriti upeyushiyadhava prava. Iti matir upakalpita vitrishna. Iti matir, oh my dear Lord, iti matir, So he's telling to Yudhishthira, enough, I've answered all your questions. Let me focus my matir, my consciousness. Iti matir upakalpita. Let me invest my consciousness on whom? Let me draw my consciousness from Krishna. Krishna is greed for sense gratification. It is Vikrishna. Let me draw it from the sense gratification, from all other topics of the world, and let me invest it in whom?
Bhagavati Sattvata Pungave Vibhumni.
So, let me focus this on Bhagavati, onto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the leader of the devotees, who is self-satisfied. Krishna is self-satisfied. And yet, kvachit vihartum prakriti upesh. And yet he comes here and creates and enacts all of this just for the pleasure of himself and the devotees. Because even though he is self-satisfied. So like this, Bhishma Deva is drawing his consciousness and from like a tortoise and then investing this on seeing Krishna, understanding his fame, pastimes, of his qualities. What is the quality Bhishma Deva is focusing on? That he is self-satisfied, his Atmarama, his Atmatrutta, his Purna. And yet he comes here, he creates this world, he enacts pastimes. So this is how the devotees meditate on the Lord's name, fame, pastimes. So like this, we can learn from Bhishma Deva how to invest one's mind as well, along with the words, activities, thoughts, like body, mind and words into the Supreme Lord. So in the end, Prabhupada writes that one who has seen the Lord, there is nothing else that one can be attracted to. Because once the senses are so satisfied and satiated, what else do I want? What else does the senses want? Although we do not have the capacity to see the Supreme Lord, we can only see Him through the words of Srila Prabhupada. And then our senses get satisfied and then we can make our lives perfect. And that's what Nagamuni is saying in this verse, that only then it will be perfect. Otherwise, this body is a machine and then it will be useless if we do not apply the service of Krishna. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? We can discuss for a few minutes. Thank you very much.
Yes, you mentioned those Puranas, different Puranas, and you know how different things are mentioned in different Puranas.
Okay.
And among all the Puranas, of course, this one is the topmost and has the absolute truth. So
yes,
the rest of them, whatever is written, are those, are they all lies or
no? No. So any scripture cannot be a lie. A scripture is always authentic. Any scriptures, any shastra. Karta, shastra, karatva. So the shastra is there for shashan. Shashan is to rule. Shastra, shastra and shastra. Shastra is weapon, shastra is scriptures, and shashan is to rule. So the shastra the shastra is there to rule and advise. So every scripture is authentic. But we have to understand the scripture in totality, not separately. For example, there are certain scriptures which glorify someone else apart from Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. But how do we understand that? We have to understand that keeping all the 18 Puranas in totality. So like someone reads some other Purana, they cannot understand. It's not a complete Purana. Hence, you cannot just read one Purana and then understand it. But Bhagavatam is complete in itself. In that way. So it's not false, it is true. But one cannot, because it's incomplete, you have to do a broad-based study. So all scriptures are right. But each scripture is meant for certain classes of people. If they are not ready to take up Krishna, then they can take up some other Purana. But the primary purpose of the scriptures is to bring Nirnam under the shelter of scriptures first. Shashan. First the scriptures advises them, brings them under the shelter, and then gradually elevates them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. But they're all true, all scriptures are authentic, and they're all true. And they're all actually not contradictory as well, in one sense. So that's why Puranas are very, it's not very easy to understand Purana. That's why Prabhupada writes very broadly, purports when we read these verses. So it's like that. It's not false, it is true. All shastras.
It's really amazing, in different Puranas, the creation which is done is, they have different, very hard to explain.
Hmm. Like,
it's like here, the creation is done by Krishna and
yes.
Srimad Bhagavatam. But if you read some other Puranas, the creation is done in a different way.
Like?
So in Srimad Bhagavatam, from the Lord's name, Brahma appears, mm-hmm. and then the creation is done.
Yeah.
So if you, I think in Shiva Puran, mm-hmm. so the creation is actually done by Lord Shiva.
Yeah.
So how do you see this?
It's not contrary to your birth, actually. So that is why we have to understand, like when you read the Daksha Prajapati Pasa in this canto, when Lord Shiva is, when Lord Brahmaji comes, he pays obeisances to Lord Shiva and calls Lord Shiva as Bhagavan. So the Acharyas have said, now Lord Brahma is a great devotee of the Lord, right? And we call everyone here Prabhu. But are we Prabhus? No, who is the real Prabhu? The Supreme Lord. But we still call you Prabhu, call everyone Prabhu. The same way, when Lord Brahmaji called Lord Shiva as Bhagavan, he was not seeing Lord Shiva, he was seeing the Lord, Supreme Lord within Lord Shiva. So in that sense, he is calling him Prabhu. As you have, Lord Shiva, you meditate on the Supreme Lord, Lord Supreme Lord is sitting in your heart. So hence, you are the holder of Bhagavan. So he is addressing him as Prabhu, just like how we address each other as Prabhu. In the same way, Shiva, if you read Vishnu Sahasranam, Shiva is another name for Krishna. Shameva iti Shiva. Shiva means auspicious. Lord Krishna is always auspicious. So we have to understand in totality. That's why scriptures have different bhashas. Guhya bhasha is secretive bhashas. So for someone who is under the mode of ignorance, who is not ready to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will accept Lord Shiva as the entity as Lord Shiva. Which is not false, because Lord Shiva is only enacting what Lord Krishna wants him to enact. But that is an incomplete understanding. So when you understand the same creation in totality perspective, yes, it is Lord Shiva who creates, but who is that Lord Shiva? It is Krishna, because in Vishnu Sahasranam he said there is another name for Krishna is Shiva. So in that sense it is not wrong, isn't it? Does it make sense? So it is not contrary. So that is why Vedavyasa wrote this in which the Puranas have this secrecy sometimes, so it is not very apparent sometimes. So we have to understand the same totality. Then it makes sense. Like for example, if you see Daksha Prajapati, Bhagavatam says Vishnu did not come, Sandar Brahmana says he came. How do you understand it? Because you have to understand that although Vishnu came in Sandar Brahmana, he did not come in his original form, he came in the form of Vasudeva. So in that sense, the Puranas don't contradict with each other. So that means, and that is the way we have to understand the scriptures, that scriptures cannot be contradicted to each other. It's just that our limited understanding to assimilate them is limited. But when the Acharyas try to, that's why when you see Prabhupada brings in, in the purport, reference from many scriptures, Upanishads, in the Vedas, and other Puranas, and then he tries to make us understand this. So it is like that. So you understand like that, and if Prabhupada would have written Shiva Purana, you would explain how that is actually Krishna creating. But it is like that, and that's how we have to understand it. Does that make sense, sir? ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। प्रभुपाद की जय।